The last leg of the trip I began in October, the day after my new Thanksgiving. Though I had planned to take about 3 days from Grand Prairie to Whitehorse, it was nearing winter now, and I was a bit nervous that I would run into snow. I had no winter tires on my truck, and I wasn't prepared for severe weather. So I balanced my need to sightsee with my need to get to Whitehorse. I flipped on Stan Rogers to that song again as I entered the wilderness.
For just one time, I would take the Northwest Passage.
One road, no choices, except, occasionally, where to spend the night. My plan was Grand Prairie to Fort Nelson, Fort Nelson to Watson Lake to Whitehorse. I left Grand Prairie's huge town and drove to Dawson Creek, B.C. As you go on the Alaska Highway, you leave more and more civilization behind. You can tell this because Dawson Creek gives way to Fort St. John, and then, when you get to Sasquatch Crossing, it looks as if they're advertising that people have devolved into beasts. After that, it's all gonna be beasts. Except for Fort Nelson, where I stayed in a great hotel next to a tiki room. The last time I saw tikis was in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Ruh-roh, Shaggy.
But I had the whole room to myself. There's a pool on one end. It's so quiet and I feel so happy and reverent about being there with those red-eyed tikis glowing in the dark. I found myself singing in the room the part of Stan Rogers' song that's my story.
How then am I so different from the first men through this way? Like them, I left a settled life. I threw it all away to seek a Northwest Passage at the call of many men, to find there but the road back home again.
And then, in the dark room of the hotel, the tiki sang,
ooh, ooh.
For just one time, I could take the Northwest Passage,
ooh,
to find the hand of Franklin reaching for the Beaufort Sea,
ooh,
tracing one warm line through a land so wide and savage, and take the Northwest Passage to the sea.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And I felt welcomed in an odd, surreal way. The path from Fort Nelson to Watson Lake was curvy, sometimes treacherous, with unexpected wildlife everywhere. I had to slow down once for caribou, licking the salt off the highway. 3 sheep curled up side by side on the side of a cliff at the sharp turn in the road. They had their backs to vehicles looking over a cliff instead, and they tempted every driver to look down over the magnificent cliff too. I nearly ran into an RV parked against the cliff taking photos of the sheep. There were roving gangs of bison that terrorized small towns, scratching up vehicles with their horns, and when they came in, everyone else had to back up. I caught up with them and pulled my truck beside a large bull who was strutting down the right shoulder of the road. Yes, I was stupid. I could have had my truck gored, but for whatever reason, he let me drive next to him, and I rolled down the window and heard him huffing. And I took a picture, and then I drove on. When I finally reached Watson Lake, I was thrilled to be in the Yukon and 5 hours away from my destination. I was so rushed to get there that I skipped Liard Hot Springs, afraid that if I didn't keep pushing it, I might not make it. I'd like to say that immigration ends when you get to your destination, but it doesn't. When I got to Whitehorse, I was thrilled to be there. I was. I was able to get the same apartment I had 3 years ago. Friends I had known for 6 years now welcomed me. It was tough, though, getting work. I depleted my savings. I tried lots of jobs that didn't work out for one reason or another. And at first, I complained a lot. Understandably, I was concerned that I was going to have to turn around and go back. My parents started selling me on the idea of returning home. It's not failure if you come back, my mother said. You just didn't make it. I worked for a short time as a janitor, mopping the showers of a gym. I had a 2-hour stint at a coffee shop that taught me a lot about myself. I cannot do more than one thing at one time. Coffee shops are a whirl of activity. I have a something latte in a really cool mug. I taught cartooning to kids, science fiction to teens, and I sang on a street corner for Christmas. I did as many jobs as I could, but I still fell short of rent, truck payments, electricity. I didn't know what else to do but start applying for jobs in the South, back in the States, teaching gigs. At least I would have a steady paycheck. At some point, I started having to make critical choices about the next year of my life. I knew I was not going to really make it in the Yukon unless I gave up the option of going back. I thought all along I had been focused on getting to Whitehorse, making my life here, but in effect, I'd always kept a door open in case things got too bad. So I looked at that door, and I closed it myself. I'm able to open it, maybe, one day. But if I don't shut it, I'll never have to make it here. And I want to give this every effort. Immigration isn't just the movement. It's the commitment to. It's the abandonment of a former place. I can't stop being American. But I can commit to my relationship with the Yukon. And maybe the Yukon will someday commit to me. It's got a lot of promise.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire while the breeze on high sang a
chilled by the winter
under an arc.